Struggling with your faith? You're not the only one. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week. We were born sick. Heard them say, well,
thanks for tuning in, folks. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here on Joy 1250, covering Southern Ontario. Just had a tremendous time with Chrissy Snow.
The girl in the Thunderbird.
I noticed you talked a lot during that interview.
Suzanne Summers, man. Is that so I can go to work on Monday and say, I was talking with Suzanne Summers
really?
On the weekend?
That's
I do it all the time.
What we need to get into now is just changing gears ferociously, actually. LaTanya Christie is the author of Take Me to Church. It's a testimony of God's love in spite of horrible life circumstances. The experiences of the character Valene. Did I say that right? Valene? Okay, close enough. Based on LaTanya Christie's life, led her toward faith instead of away from it. And this is the fascinating part of this story that I just have a hard time getting. When a life-altering event occurs in her preteen years at the hands of a church leader, she is left devastated and disillusioned. Take Me to Church is an emotional expose of how sexual abuse, victimization, and shame were handled in an independent black church in Ontario, Canada. LaTanya joins us in studio. Thank you for being here, but I am a little confused. Why are you laughing already? You're so smiley and fun. I right away, you know, when something like what happened to you mm-hmm. happens to so many people, the vast majority of people give God the big finger, or they walk away from church at the least. Mm-hmm. At the very least, they walk away from church. I remember talking to Sinead O'Connor about the abuse she suffered as a result of her mom and the church and just garbage nonsense. But you're sitting here beside me, all smiley, because you love Jesus and you love church and everything's peachy. Did I get that right?
No. I love Jesus. I do. But I did have that moment. I did go through those moments where I didn't go to church. I question God. I question my reality. I question many things. But I went through those things, and now I'm at the realization that where I am now.
And where are you now?
That I know for myself that God is real.
But hold on. I got to stop. I got to press pause. Because if God is real, then people would say, well, then why didn't he step in mm-hmm. and stop the church man from messing with you?
It had to happen. It was purposed in my life for me to go through those things, because what I went through and what I could talk about now, I'm able to help many different women and men that have gone through the same things, and to for them to not associate men or women's behavior, religious leaders' behaviors with God. It's completely different. We have an understanding of God, and we put it in a church, and we say, believe this and do that. And those people can hurt you, and they'll do a lot of things to you that are, I don't think that are representative of what God is really. Hmm. And then we start to associate those type of behaviors and those actions with God, and we draw away from that. But I think that you have to look at the people for who they are as people and as flawed people, and to find ways to work through whatever issues there are.
Okay, you said the phrase, this was purposed. Mm-hmm. You know, that gives me a rash, right? Because what I heard you say was that God wanted you to go through this.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say. I would say yes.
You think God wanted you to be sexually abused?
I think that God wanted me to go through something that would draw me closer to him.
How old were you?
I was 12 years old.
I can't swallow that. You know what I mean? The innocence of a 12-year-old, mm-hmm. I don't think figures into the theology of God in that way. Let me just spin this around a different way. You knew you were going to get pushback from me on this. You got to know
yes,
that, right?
Yes, I did. I was.
You probably know a little bit about my show.
Yeah.
Somebody's mother doesn't like me. Who is your mother?
It's not mine.
Somebody's mother doesn't like me. There's a lot of mothers that don't like me growing up over the years. Okay, bad stuff happens. Mm-hmm. God allows it. Mm-hmm. because he sees big picture. But did he want it to happen? No, I don't think so, because we just live in a world where bad stuff happens. But God is able to be the proverbial lemonade maker. Mm-hmm. He's able to take the nasties and turn them into great things, mm-hmm. beautiful things. Okay, so that's different than God wanted you to be sexually abused as a 12-year-old.
Well, I'll say it wasn't the will of God. I can't say I'm not God. I can't speak to say that God wanted it to happen. But
you now can look back. Sorry, yes. I totally stepped on you there. You can now look back on it. I keep doing this. Sorry.
That's okay.
You can now look back on it and go, okay, I can see purpose that is able to come out of this garbage.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yep.
Can I just need to stop for a second, because you have this, you reek of joy. What is wrong with you? You're so, is she not the most, what's the word?
Positive.
Positive, okay.
She hasn't stopped smiling since she's been in here.
Well, that's a good thing.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And
I got to get me some of this.
I've gone through periods in my life where I wasn't that happy, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm happy now.
Sure, sure. You know, at the risk of taking the joy away from this beautiful face of yours, our listeners don't really know your story. So can you share it succinctly?
I could share a little bit of it, because I want you to buy the book, Take Me to Church.
Her publicist is in the house.
So basically, I've come from a single parent family. My mother and my brother and I immigrated to Canada from Jamaica when I was a little girl, and we moved to a smaller town outside of the GTA, 45 minutes away. I won't tell you where. It might be close to Oakville. I don't know. And
yes.
And we became members of a church, and basically that was our family. That was what we had, because all our family was back home. And as we grew in the church and as we got more entrenched in the church, somebody that was in a leadership position sexually assaulted me in the church. And what they did was, he didn't deny it. He said it was true. But they said, well, this is the church business. You can't take it outside. So they told us, don't talk about it to people. Don't tell anybody outside, and we'll handle it. So he was really well positioned in a church. He had a lot of things that he was doing. And
when you say well positioned in the church, are you saying he was the pastor or an elder or a deacon? He had some kind of spiritual authority, or was he just wait? Can I use this? Will you be angry with me if I use this phrase? He was just a slime ball.
I won't be angry with you, but he was an ordained minister, and he did operate in the administration of the church.
Okay.
So the spiritual aspect and the business aspect of the church as well, he was very high up. And I think they put him on like probation or something like that for about 4 months. And then they told us to forgive him and get on with our lives. But what happened was I started getting depressed. And people started just talking about the issue. We couldn't talk about it, but everybody else could talk about it. So I started to internalize a lot of pain, and then I attempted suicide.
Oh, at what age?
I was 12 years old.
Right around that same time period. So this isn't something that festered and festered and festered. It hit you right away.
I went to church with him every Sunday. And I mean, he was still there. You know, I wasn't allowed to feel. I wasn't allowed to express anything. I wasn't allowed to talk. And he was allowed to do that. And that's what really the story is about, and how things happened. Eventually, it got out of the church, and the police got involved, and he was arrested. And he is now a registered sex offender.
I'm worried that you're going to look at me and say, Drew Marshall, you are a bad person for thinking this. But I am so glad that he was arrested. I am so glad that he's a registered sex offender.
I'm glad, too.
I'm allowed to think that?
Yes, you are.
Because if truth be told, my thoughts are worser than what I just said. This is one of the things that I know that if this ever happened in my close circles, I would be in prison. I'm not real good with the forgiveness, grace, kumbaya stuff when it comes to messing with kids. And people talk the big game all the time. But I have looked at myself in the mirror many times and said, that's my switch. The switch will go off.
Yep.
Now, As a Jesus guy, you know, I still wonder about this and think, oh, I'm a bad person. But I need you to tell me when people say, because I can't be the first person to say that to you. You have family members who are probably would get in line in front of me to protect you. Do you tell them to chill because Jesus is all about kumbaya?
Well, at the time, it was only my mom and my brother and I, so we weren't surrounded by a lot of family. We didn't know a lot of people outside of the church, so we were really isolated, and we didn't really have anybody to defend us. So the church represented authority in my life, in our life, and whatever they said, we did, because we thought that we were part of the family.
Is that a cultural thing as well?
It is.
Yes. See, I did a subject in the show a while ago that I can't remember what the question was. Tim, maybe you can help me. But it was something like, do black congregations give their leaders too much trust and authority? That was kind of the question. Because over the years, when I've interviewed, say, B.B. King or James Brown, as soon as they found out that I used to be a pastor, their demeanor changed with me instantly. There was this irreverence that came out. I look at myself in the mirror and I can't even spell like reverence. It just doesn't make sense. But is there something about your culture that surrenders too easily to authority within the church?
I definitely think that in the black churches, it's more thought of as a family. You're more emotionally invested in the community, in the church community. So there is a lot of trust that you give up to be a part of that family.
If you were to, is that changeable? I was going to say, if you could change that, what would you do? But is it changeable? Because there's a part of me that admires the beautiful, trusting nature of the black community within their church. There's something different. Every time I get invited, and it's not very often, to a black church or the Toronto Mass Choir, I love hanging out with those guys, and I go to an event. Man, it feels like you, like sitting beside you is what it feels. Why? See, she's laughing again.
I think you can change it. I think through your experiences, through education, through reading the Word of God for yourself, you can decipher what's truth and not true. And if somebody's asking you, who's a religious leader in your life, to do something that is controversial or is just wrong, that by that knowledge that you know outside of the church that is wrong, you don't have to do it.
I guess I want to ask you sort of the typical interview question, which would be like, if there's somebody listening right now, this is the big God station in Canada, and they're going to a church, and someone in their church is doing something bad to them, what do they do?
First, I would say to tell the pastor, and if the pastor doesn't
act, what if the pastor's doing it?
You have to leave. You have to leave, and you have to call the police. If this is the case, sexual abuse is not a church issue. It's a crime. And
but there's a verse. There's a verse. And here's the verse, right? It's something like Christians aren't supposed to sue each other. And if you're supposed to handle it within the church. It's supposed to be just within the church. There's verses that talk about this stuff.
Well, there's one verse that says that your body is a temple of God and nobody is allowed to defile you. If you don't want to be touched, if you don't want to be handled in a certain way and your pastor or somebody in leadership is doing that to you, you have to leave and you have to speak out. And people might not like you for it, but you have to do it.
Yeah, I'm just imagining when you do speak out against the right Reverend so-and-so who the church is looking up to and admiring and worshiping. And see, here's the issue is pastor worship. Now, I'm not saying that it's always the pastor in the church that's doing this kind of thing or the priest or the minister or whatever. Yeah. It could be the deacon, the elder, the Sunday school teacher. We've heard this stuff far too often.
Yeah.
But there is no, it can't be them. We default in church to innocence right away. Now, the rule of the law is innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
And I don't think we want to walk around being terrified of leaving our children with, the 50-year-old male Sunday school teacher just because he's a male, because good night, we need more male role models.
Yes, that's true. But you have to speak out. And if you speak out and people don't want to believe it, that's okay. But you have to protect you. And maybe by you speaking out, you help somebody else, because a lot of people suffer in silence in these churches because of we have this reverence, as you said, for men, for women, for people, when I would just think that you should just have reverence for God. And if you just realize that everybody's flawed and everybody could make mistakes, but if that's a mistake that they're making, you don't need to be around them. And children shouldn't be around them.
We're chatting with LaTanya Christie. She's the author of Take Me to Church. You can, of course, find this on Amazon, Kindle, or Indigo's Kobe Reader, Take Me to Church. LaTanya, I don't even know if this is a fair question, but I'm sure this comes up in these conversations. Which is worser? That's a real word, by the way. Which is worse, the assault or the covering up of the assault?
For me, it was the covering up. I knew the assault was wrong, but how the church handled the cover up, it hurt so much more. Because as I said, he was high up in ministry and in administration. I knew at 12 years old what value was in the church. If you could bring money, if you were, you know, played an instrument, or if you did something to help, they would like you and they would cover you even when you do wrong. But if you're a nobody, if you're small, and if you don't, maybe you can't give as much, you know, they're easy to say, you know, you're a problem or you're at fault.
So you felt, I guess they made you feel small. They made you feel insignificant, devalued.
Absolutely.
It was corporate rejection rather than.
Yep.
Well, let's just sort of, I guess, tie this up in this way. First of all, no, I'm just wondering if this even matters, whether I should ask this. Let me ask it and you tell me if it matters. Were you abused multiple times or once?
It was once.
Does that question matter?
It does matter because a lot of people experience multiple abuse, but I'm because of my mother, and I told her, and she believed me, and she fought for me.
Man, you gotta love this woman.
She, you know, it stopped, and you know, to come to find out that this guy, it wasn't the first time that his name was called in such an incident.
Really?
But because my mother was the type of woman that she was, you know, she made sure that, you know, something has to happen.
Yeah.
So, yes, it does matter. And to anybody who's listening that might be going through that, your children, listen. Please just listen to them and do something about it.
Well, not knowing you, this might sound trite, but I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I really am. And the fact that you decided to write this down and get the story out there, and yet here's the thing I'm the most proud of. You stink of grace. You have led with grace in this whole story. And that is I don't know if I could do that, LaTanya. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can't, trust me. Trust me.
I can't even spell grace.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. I'm trying to share that point. I'm trying to share that with people because there are a lot of broken people in church. There are a lot of broken people in the world, and they feel as though because of the things that have happened to me, what I've gone through, I can't be happy. And I want people to know, yes, you can. Just separate yourself from the things that are bothering you, the things that are oppressing you, and think about the love of God. If I am different than anybody else, I just bask in the love of God. I'm grateful for his love every day, and that's just how I live my life.
I like you. I'm just thinking about the one-off versus the multiple times, and I think what I worry about with the multiple time thing is not only what you said, which is people not believing you, but the multiple time thing seems to correlate with self-blame.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there must be something about me that this is the reason this keeps happening. There's got to be something about me that's – am I asking for it? Do you understand that?
I do.
Is that different with the one-off and your mom coming in and believing you and bang, it's done?
I think so.
Did you get into self-blame?
I got into self-blame because I got depression. And the church said, you can't be depressed. If you're a Christian, you can't be depressed. So I started to blame
myself. Is this church still in existence?
It's not only that church. A lot of churches still believe that,
yeah,
right? So,
yeah.
So I didn't blame myself so much for the abuse, but for the way that I was depressed. And I wasn't allowed to feel depressed. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't okay for that to happen. Yeah. So that's when the self-blame came in.
I could learn a lot from you. I want to thank you for coming in. Where did you come from?
Way
out in Scarberry or something?
No, I live in Brampton.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, all right. B-Town.
Yeah. That's where Tim teaches. Yeah. So, and I want to thank your husband, your not always so charming husband, but forever loyal prince.
Yes.
For being a nice guy, whatever. You know, having a daughter of your own, mm-hmm. that's a whole different dynamic that I just wish we had time to get into, because, you know, you could go a couple of ways there being a mm-hmm. mom. You could be totally neurotic helicopter mm-hmm. parent, never letting her out of your sight. Do you find yourself slipping that way?
No, we're open. We talk about everything, and it's just comfortable.
Yeah.
Good. So I'm not the helicopter parent.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, again, folks, LaTanya Christie, she is the author of Take Me to Church, shining example of what the human spirit can overcome. Take Me to Church is available to order or download on Amazon, Kindle, or Indigo's Kobe Reader. Go to those places and type in Take Me to Church. You'll find it. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And you could see me on Gospel Faith TV. I have a new show called Open Forum.
Whoa, I didn't know this.
Yes. And it talks about controversial issues in the church, but it's from a youth perspective.
Nice.
So we're going to have a lot of guests come on and different things. And I'll be having a book tour in the summer. So if your church or your group were interested in having me come and talk, you can hit me up on email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Christy L. Inc. or LaTanya Christie.
Well done. I'm just looking at your publicist. Anything else? You know, two thumbs up. All right. Well done. All right, folks, a very short break. And when we come back, sort of back-to-back tales of abuse, really. The Hell of Grenville with a couple of people who went to Grenville Christian College. I almost went to Grenville Christian College myself. Turns out, I'm thankful I didn't, after hearing about all the nonsense that went on at this school. Of course, I saw this W5 expose. Called In the Name of God, and we have two former students in the studio, well, one in the studio, one on the phone, who are going to join us and talk about their experience at this school. And part of me is just really disturbed at the fact that I've got these back-to-back stories, because it just, you know, I like to live in a bubble, Tim.
Yes, you do. That's why your head's shaped the way it is.
Really? This is too much, you know, when it comes to kids and spiritual abuse, right? This is the thing that gets me fired up.
I do
spiritual
know
abuse.
So let's put on some Celtic music before the...
Oh, yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
On shore.